Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, isang mapagpalat, mapagpalayang umaga sa inyong lahat. It is a happy and most welcome coincidence that I have set out to work for the mission of making the University of the Philippines as a great university in this time of great celebration. For this year, we celebrate the 100th birthday anniversary of a beloved president of UP, Salvador P. Lopez, and the 150th birth anniversary of our country's revered hero, Dr. Jose P. Rizal, to which this occasion is proudly dedicated. For our guests who are unfamiliar with UP history, S.P. Lopez, as we called him, staunchly upheld academic freedom and high-minded view that the university must play the role of social critic and agent of social change. We shall have another forum to discourse on S.P. Lopez, but it may be noted that he also spoke of Rizal's relevance, underscoring his role in imagining the nation, reiterating in reference to his literary discourses that the works of imagination and of intellect cannot, as a matter of fact, be divorced from the other aspects of the life of man, the economic or the political. S.P. Lopez aptly spoke of the man whose birth we celebrate today. I'm truly glad that the faculty of the College of Arts and Letters, led by Dean Elinita Mirano, with the assistance of the conference director, Professor Marot Flores, and in close collaboration with the deans and faculty of the College of Social Sciences and Philosophy and the Asian Center, had prepared well for this gathering on Rizal's sesquicentennial. Let me tell you that one of my first acts as president when I assumed office in February this year was to request for a portrait of Rizal to hang in my office at Quezon Hall in cognizance of Rizal's place in our midst. Retired Professor Consuelo Alaras of the Department of English and Literature, I think she's here, was kind enough to lend me one, Rizal's portrait painted in 1906 by Rafael Enriquez, who eventually became the director of UP's School of Fine Arts in 1909. What could be more propitious time than this year to articulate a vision of greatness for this university? In quite profound ways, celebrating the works of Jose Rizal rekindles higher ideals of service to the nation in the university's quest for knowledge and erudition in various academic disciplines. We hope that this historic conference shall once again summon from Rizal's work such ideals, bringing this forth to the light of day in view of newer insights, sharper vistas, and broader horizons. And from where I stand, we hope to generate from this conference a greater understanding of Rizal that could help significantly in shaping our vision of UP as a great university in the 21st century. Let me turn briefly to the idea of a university. We know that it started from guilds where masters and students searched for knowledge in continuing discourse, and then evolved into corporate bodies that sought higher learning for the benefit of society. From these associations also grew the concept of academic freedom, which found its ways to the universities in the exercise of autonomy from the powers that be, such as the state and the church. Such autonomy came to be enshrined in charters that guaranteed legal rights to collective bodies in pursuit of higher learning. Through these developments, the idea of the scholar disposed and able to freely pursue inquiries in the various branches of knowledge was established. The idea of a scholarly expertise in the service of society was also recognized. Of course, through history, the scholar has not always been free from tyranny and inquisition, but the idea of a scholar's untrammeled passage into institutions of learning and his unhindered pursuit of knowledge and truth was acknowledged, even as it had to be defended many times at the cost of his own freedom or even his own life. At the bosom, therefore, of the university, of its becoming and being, is the free-thinking scholar satisfying his curiosities and inquiries in an atmosphere conducive to the life of mind and ready to deploy his discoveries in the service of society. That is why it is so timely to have come at this time for commemoration, for me to be at the helm of the university with a vision to remake it and with an inspiration from an exemplary persona, an outstanding scholar, one acknowledged as such by scholars and citizens alike of past and contemporary times. For Rizal was a foremost product of the university, the fitting example of a scholar in diligent pursuit of knowledge and truth, unfettered by threats foisted on his own person and beliefs. In him, we find the scholar in constant inquiry into the whys and wherefores of social conditions, the philosophical premises of political and religious views that prevailed in his time, the scientific observations of the natural world, and the practical solutions to everyday problems that confronted the colonial society and his fellow Indios. Rizal was a scholar who sought knowledge and truth in the most adverse conditions of tyranny and obscurantism, unmindful of the costs that his action will entail on his person. From this persona, we could carve out a model of scholarly excellence in the service of the nation and humanity. This should be part of our visioning of a university where scholars constantly, without fear or favor, seek to understand society's ills and offer cures drawn up from careful thought and study. We see such vision in Rizal's works, and this we can incorporate into the fabric of remaking a great university. Rizal the scholar has always fascinated generations after him. Your presence here today is a clear testament to this fact. There appears to be no end to the varied discourses we could tackle on the broad range of concerns that Rizal took up in his essays and letters. There has always been a room for a new thought, a new way at looking at his ideas, a more nuanced view of his works. What has challenged scholars, I think, is Rizal's scholarly disposition. He possessed those qualities that we in the university have constantly strived for: the lust for the life of the mind, the passion for critical inquiry into everything that bears on everyday human affairs. It is very clear that Rizal had imbibed the essential qualities of the scholar of the world's great universities, qualities formed through the practice of generations after generations of scholars. Rizal was truly much ahead of his time. As we have known all this time, it was in Europe where some of the world's earliest universities flourished, that he would meet his important intellectual peers and engage them in ways no other Filipino scholar was able to do. We find it amazing indeed that Rizal had produced so much intellectual output in so short a lifetime, something no other Filipino intellectual after him has achieved. Surprisingly, scholars across generations have tackled the many issues he had grappled with, but have not taken up a study of his persona as a scholar. Demand's method of thinking, his inquiring and scientific mind, the philosophical outlook toward issues of the day, the habit of investigation and study, the keen engagement with societal problems. But Rizal lived not only as a consummate scholar, he also constantly exhorted his fellow Filipinos, including his own sisters and nephews, to engage in serious study. To the women of Malolos, we read how he rejoiced in the work they had accomplished by themselves to establish a night school and called on them to awaken and prepare the mind of the child for every good and desirable idea, reminding them that the country should not expect honor and prosperity so long as the education of the child is defective, so long as the women who raise the children are enslaved and ignorant. While in forced exile in Dapitan, we all know that he put up a school and then gathered and challenged the youth of the town to merit a place in it. This was a school that was clearly more than a generation ahead of its time, considering the rigor of its curriculum and entrance examination. I am sure that you are familiar with his essay on town schools, where he called for improvement of elementary instruction, something that truly resonates to this day, making an indictment of sterile and useless instruction, much of which coming from prior tutelage, irrelevant to the needs of the people at that time and even now. We also called for teaching subjects such as agriculture, geography, and history to the Indios in his native language, and translating compendium of geography and history or treatises on agriculture adapted to the country and disseminating them in public schools. Rizal was a persistent person in his exhortation, moving heaven and earth to impart to the youth the enlightenment he had acquired from his own education. The tenor of his essays and letters was focused, determined, and unrelenting. It was as if life of the people and of a nation in the making rested on it. Indeed, in his every thought on education and other concerns, what resonated in vigor was the well-being of the people and the country, its backwardness and the obstacles placed before it by friar obscurantism and official indifference. He assailed the daily preaching that lowers human dignity, gradually and brutally killing the natives' self-respect. He spoke of the apathy of government toward agriculture and commerce. He bewailed the great difficulty that every great enterprise encountered with administration. How many documents, how many comings and goings, how many stamp papers, and how many patience are necessary to secure from government a permit for an enterprise, he said. Very true even today. He deplored the facility with which individual liberty is curtailed, the endless worry of all people, knowing that they are liable to a secret report, an administrative action, to be accused of being a filibustero or a suspect. And he lamented the lack of national sentiment arising from the scarcity of any opposition to measures that are prejudicial to the people's welfare. His essays were addressed to government officials, the church and the priests, his fellow intellectuals and reformists, his friends and enemies, and his family. There was no instance in his essays or letters that he did not speak of the welfare of the community or critique the order of things that weighed down on the people. His every waking hour appears to have been given to a keen observation, a lengthy explanation, an exhortation, and an intimate aspiration, a dreaming of what ought to be for Filipinos to rise as a nation, even such far era from his generation's time as a century hence. Rizal's insights of the people were deep. His foresight of becoming a nation was far-reaching. I believe it was because he was attentive to the people's daily toil, as he was also perceptive of the rudiments of nationhood, especially at a time when he saw the people gradually rising from colonialism and despair. It is a tribute to Rizal's scholarly stature that we can beckon to him and take his example as part of a visioning for our university in this time when difficult challenges continue to face our country and the nation seeks the aid of its sons and daughters. In colonial times, Rizal gave his inner resource, his intellectual faculties, to the country, and when it became necessary, offered his life for the fulfillment of its destiny. To the nations asking, the University of the Philippines has to respond dutifully in fulfillment of its founding mission. The passage of the UP's new charter in 2008, which finally bestowed on UP its formal calling as the National University, affirmed the role of UP as it has always acted out since its establishment, the role to provide leadership as a research university, as a teaching university, and as a public university. In other words, what we have to offer to the nation in the same class as Rizal is our collective intellectual resource. UP is clearly the resumption of the Universidad Literaria of the Filipinas, which Rizal's Ilustrado Contemporaries founded under the Malolos Republic, a fulfillment of Rizal's own vision of education as a fundamental element of nationhood. The challenges we face as a nation are myriad and complex. The most critical problems of our time appear to be the question of unresponsive and often corrupt leadership of the country and the chronic economic backwardness and widespread poverty that afflicts our people. We need to mobilize the intellectual resource of the nation to help lift the country out of its political and economic underdevelopment. I am not saying that this alone will resolve the country's chronic problems, for these are structurally rooted. But the nation's intellectuals can certainly make a difference so long as they are imbued with honor and commitment to the interests of the people in extending their expertise to the nation. In his writings, Rizal demonstrated the scholar's vast progressive powers in stimulating change in the community, acting like, in the words of S.P. Lopez, a social critic, an agent of social change. But he exemplified as well in the Pitan, a concrete expression of a scholar's real impact on the community development. Alone, even under conditions of forced exile, Rizal extended his knowledge to the betterment of the town. We are aware of things Rizal did for the community using his scientific know-how. And Chancellor Saloma enumerated a number of them. As a community of scholars, we collectively possess much more than Rizal in scientific knowledge, technological expertise, and understanding the liberal arts and humanities. Surely, together we can give more to the nation. We can actually rededicate our research outputs and studies to the improvement of the lives of our people. We can enhance our multidisciplinary endeavors to respond to urgent concerns of the needy sectors of our country. The challenges we face today are daunting and still helplessness in some of us. We need an army of dedicated professionals offering their expertise to the nation's uplift. We need new leaders for our country. We need to direct our development future beyond the prescriptions of the more dominant economies and gear it towards real and sustainable development. We need to create an education system suited to the needs of the majority and supportive of social progress. And we need to create an enabling environment that builds and supports the intellectual resource of our country. More than a century ago, Jose Rizal, the first global Filipino, was pondering about many of the same problems that we face today. As we collectively reflect on his persona and works, we summon ideas and ideals that can provide guideposts to our shared future. We look back at the qualities of Rizal as a scholar, a product of the university's work ethic, his diligence in his inquiries and research to respond to the questions of his countrymen. We look back at his boundless love for Inang Bayan, our motherland, his commitment to the interests of the people, and how he devoted much of his time for works that uplift and exalt the nation. The following words, rarely quoted, if at all, speaks deeply of his love for our country. He said, "It has been said that love has always been the most powerful force behind sublime actions. Well then, of all loves, that of the country is the greatest, the most heroic, and the most disinterested. Read history, if not the annals, the traditions. Go to the homes. What sacrifices, self-denial, and tears are held on the sacred altar of the nation." End of quote. This conference may not provide exact answers to many questions about nationhood and other issues of national and global significance which Rizal himself confronted in his time. But it shall certainly add new insights that would help each of us and all of us understand our problems and produce better solutions for our future, our shared future. Mabuhay ang 150th karawan ni Dr. Jose Rizal. Mabuhay ang Universidad ng Pilipinas. Mabuhay tayong lahat. Salamat po.